Do you consider yourself a numbers person? Or are you creative? Maybe you're like many people who have come to realize that they're not necessarily one or the other. My name is Michael Plater Finley, and this is the Better With Purpose podcast. I've spent a lot of my career feeling like I've been flip-flopping from being creative or analytical. What I know now is that I can be both, and when I'm at my best, I can tap into aspects of both of these capacities. That's an idea that's very important to Nick Dinka, who's my guest in this episode. Nick is the executive director of Only Connect, a nonprofit that works to build connections between the culture and technology sectors. Nick is working to uncover new ways of understanding the world, unlocking innovation, and helping makers and creators to succeed in difficult times. Only Connect's projects have covered a wide range of topics, including the intersection of science and the arts, the impact of new technologies such as the blockchain on arts and culture, and the role that artists can play in helping society to find new purpose and meaning amid the upheavals of our time. Nick and I have had a number of very thoughtful discussions about the nature of creating and how current technology has brought both opportunity and unforeseen challenges to people who create. Thank you so much for joining me, Nick. I appreciate you making the time to have a chat with me.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. Anytime.
Could you tell us about Only Connect and what it does in the world?
So it's a quirky little nonprofit that connects artists and creators with entrepreneurs, scientists, and other technical people. So basically trying to connect like the left brain and the right brain with the goal of, unlocking innovation and creative potential. Within that, I guess these days in particular, especially focused on working with artists and creators right now, they're particularly in need of help.
What brought you to deciding to pursue creating Only Connect?
There was an aha moment when I got the idea to do it. It happened when a few years back I did a Master of Business Admin part-time at Wilfrid Laurier University. And I think it was maybe like in an operations class. Anyway, I was sitting there and it just sort of hit me, something that, I mean, maybe should have been obvious from the start. The MBA it's 100% about optimization, rollout. Yeah, there's no talk of purpose whatsoever, or at least there wasn't in any of the courses I took. All that stuff is sort of absent. It's really the bottom line that you're learning to think about. And at the same time, I was running this little art center next door in the university library. And those arts and culture folks, all they did was talk about purpose and meaning and values. But on the flip side, when it came to things like business skills and rollout and scheduling, all those kinds of more technical things, sometimes there was, a corresponding void on that side. So it just got me thinking about how siloed these two realms are in our society. You know, I think a lot of our weaknesses kind of stem from that division between the left brain and the right brain, how and why. And so I thought, wouldn't it be fun to try and help to nibble away at that problem and look for ways to connect those two worlds a bit better?
My feeling is that all people have both of these sides working in them simultaneously, and that we've kind of created this idea of people are one kind or another. And I don't think that holds. I think that that's kind of a convenient narrative based on outdated ideas about how the brain works. And I think that the creativity exists in all people, and that creative people can learn tools and techniques to become more structured.
I'm like you, I've done both more creative work and more sort of businessy technical work. I think I have both sides of my personality. I think everyone has it. If you decide to define yourself in this or that way, sometimes you can let one side of that equation kind of atrophy. Yeah, one of the things that sort of struck me about the project is how often I have, scientists, for example, in particular, responding really positively, because I think in their careers, they're taught focus on the evidence, but it doesn't mean that you're not also like a creative, engaged person. And so those people, when they have like a little opportunity to explore the other side, they're extremely keen and eager.
When somebody's become so ensconced in a particular career path, whether that's as a creative person or as a scientist, that it becomes more and more difficult to untangle yourself from that identity and to allow yourself to have that creative output and do it in a way that's still somehow credible. And I mean credible in the sense of, like, personally, you feel that I'm not just a scientist who also happens to write music, or I'm not a painter who's also really good at project management. Those things, they can coexist, but they become more difficult as we proceed through our lives and our identities become more fixed.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think it's true both for individuals and for society that you want to fight against becoming overly fixed, overly rigid in your identity. Yeah, it's just a personal sort of take or value that it's healthy to push against that and keep an open mind and always be sort of not simply doing what comes easy, what's automatic in your role. And yeah, I think in societies too, like at a much broader level, I mean, the world is always changing, right? Especially now, you know, with the technological revolution, there's just been such vast changes. And if societies can't change in response to that, then you'll have problems.
I feel like we have seen some pretty profound issues that have come out with, you know, a lot of the impact of the stresses of the pandemic and how, you know, our relationship with wealth and money in general has come to, I feel like, an uncomfortable place. I mean, I think that there's always been a tension that's existed there, but observing people who have been very excited about, you know, hacking the stock market, that thing that really emerged with everything that went on with GameStop, also all this cryptocurrency fascination, I also feel that there's maybe an opposite push to that too, that some people are starting to pull away from that aspiration to wealth and all the trappings of having stuff and seeking out simplicity.
So Only Connect is the name of the project. It actually comes out of a quote. E.M. Forster was a novelist who I kind of responded to. He had a book called Howard's End that was sort of about some of this stuff actually. And anyway, the quote that the name comes from is, if you could only connect the prose and the passion, and both will be exalted and human love will be seen at its height, live in fragments no longer. And basically, I think what he's trying to say, we have prose, by which he means like the practical, the nuts and bolts, the world of business, science and technology on the one hand. And then on the other hand, passion, like the world of creativity and emotion. His sort of take was that these two things had become kind of separated from each other. And as a result, his society had kind of lost its way, become directionless. And yeah, so his take was you need both. You do actually still need ambition. You still need the motivations of, I guess, like competition, but you need to balance that with something else. And it needs to ultimately serve that other thing. Like it needs to have a purpose. Competition is fine, but you need to know what you're competing for and what you're ultimately trying to achieve. Yeah, I mean, I absolutely agree with you. I think there's a shift. It's like we cut off the right brain. We cut off the part of us that really cares about purpose. We focus just on winning, whatever that thing might be, winning, 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 making more money, getting more stuff. And now we're seeing the downside of that. We've got to shift back and figure out what it is that we're actually trying to achieve. And then we can go back to making stuff and doing stuff, but it has to be more purposeful.
One of the things I wondered about was if there was a particular moment in time or like an event that brought you to that realization that you wanted to do something that was purpose-driven, and, you know, what were the circumstances around that?
I mean, for this particular project, it really was that insight that I talked about before, you know, being in the MBA class and realizing that purpose was not a part of the discussion. More broadly, I think, just, yeah, like I said before, I've been sort of almost like a purpose junkie over the years, like always kind of searching for things that felt meaningful to me.
In working on Only Connect, do you ever lose sight of that purpose? And what does that look like?
So yeah, I still lose sight of my purpose like 5 times a day, whether it's with regards to Only Connect or more broadly. I find less, like when I was younger, I was always like, oh man, I need to just blow everything up and completely start from scratch. I don't do that as much anymore, but I still sort of question all the time. And I do have some little tricks and techniques that I've developed to use on myself to sort of kick me out of that state of mind. One would be to have this thing of sort of honoring what I've accomplished. So I'll actually pick some particular project or thing that I've made and just take some time to reflect on the fact that I pulled it off. Because I think doing anything in this life is really hard. I mean, even the fact that any of us exist
in the real world is like incredibly improbable that, you know, your parents met at that exact moment and so on and so forth. So I think the fact that something exists, it is actually a really big deal. And so I'll almost make a little ritual of that. And I'll go, like, for example, you know, say some workshop that we did at Only Connect where we helped some artists to work through some entrepreneurial concepts. Like, I'll go back to one that went well and just take a moment to reflect on, like, okay, that thing existed. That's awesome. I want to honor that. I want to do whatever the sort of next step down that particular road is. So that's one trick I use. Another one is to, I try and think like a gardener. You plant your seeds, you do what you can to nurture them. You pay attention to them. You know, you need a lot of patience. You can't like control a thing that you're growing, right? You can have a little bit of influence on it, but ultimately like it has to make its own way. And I guess that's just like an analogy that I use with my own projects. Like I can't snap my fingers and magically have a grant tomorrow for $100,000 to do something, right? All I can do is kind of plant the seeds of my different ideas and try and tend to them. And what will be. And so that's another one. I'll just kind of visualize that process. And it reminds me that, you know, this is how you really do things in the world, I think, it's especially things that are maybe meaningful or off the beaten track. Like you have to be patient and sort of tend your garden. Eventually it'll bloom. It might not be exactly what your vision was, you know, the day when you put the seeds in the ground, but something will grow.
The perspective of achievement becomes harder and harder to maintain the further down the path you go. You know, there is a happiness impact when we do take that time to celebrate the successes and really like appreciate, as I think you're suggesting, the work that's gone into them, the conditions that were there that we might have found daunting and had to overcome, and just, you know, the sheer output, you know, just the fact that you can sit back and say, I've done these things. This is a thing that has made it into the world.
Yeah, no, I think so. And I think there's another kind of utility in the exercise too, in that it forces you to reflect a little bit on who you are and what your path is. And you know, we all have these sort of grand ideas, I think, about like, maybe I'll become like a, I don't know, like a celebrity next month or something. Like you have these daydreams, right? But if you reflect on things that actually did happen, it sort of grounds you in your own story and maybe like a more authentic sort of way.
Another thing I've been reflecting a lot on lately is how that narrative is just that, how we choose to think about our past achievements and how that relates to our identities. That feeds into this idea of who I am and what I can do. And what I have found really helpful recently is to not be bound by the past things that I've engaged in, because that lens of what my identity has been and what will other people think has really limited me in terms of how I can imagine what it is that I want to do next.
Yeah. And I think you want to avoid ruts. And this is again, just really broad kind of life philosophy stuff that I'm sort of engaging in here. Hopefully not just pure navel gazing, but I do think it's important to always, you know, there's this concept from martial arts of like beginner's mind. Like you want to keep your mind sort of fluid and open and flexible and avoid like just the ruts, avoid just getting into habits, doing things a certain way because you've always done them, you know, thinking of yourself as this kind of person because it's what you happen to be at one point. Have you heard of this concept? There's a concept of like finite and infinite games. Do you know that one?
Like, are you referring to Simon Sinek's recent book?
Yeah, yeah. So he picked it up, but I think it was actually a guy called, it was James P. Carse who inspired Sinek to do his own take on that. But you're absolutely right. That's what that is. And so a finite game would be like a traditional game, like, I just want to make the most money or I just want to win and like defeat my opponent. And when I do defeat them, then the game is over and I've won and I'm awesome. Whereas in infinite games, which, you know, the Karsis whole thing is like, in life, it's much healthier to play infinite games, is that you're really, your goal is just to keep playing. Like, play itself is the object of the game. And there is no, like, there in real life, there is no winning. There's no final victory, right? But if you can keep going and keep sort of changing and evolving in response to the world, then that's kind of what your job is.
I recently made my way through Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning.
Yeah, I've been meaning to. I've never read that, but I've heard so many good things about it.
It's interesting, to your point about that idea of the infinite game. Frankl's existence in the concentration camps was one game and a series of lots and lots of games. I mean, just thinking about his own survival and the things that he did to get by. But then, you know, he evolved out of that experience into what he pursued afterward. That intention to help other people through his experience and the research that he did subsequent to that, and how he worked with his own clients and with other psychologists and psychiatrists in helping to people to live better lives. I'd much prefer thinking of my life as a series of adventures. And some of them are maybe more grand. And those adventures always have at the heart of them something that's bigger. Have you had any surprises in your journey of working with purpose?
Well, the pandemic, for sure. Before the pandemic, a lot of what we were working on were like face-to-face workshops, events, like residencies, meetups, and all of that obviously kind of went on hold, if not by the wayside. So that, you know, was a big kind of unexpected event and forced us to pivot and rethink a little bit. So we have done a fair bit of rethinking in response to that surprise of the pandemic. Crypto certainly has a dark side, many dark sides, but there's some interesting potential for artists in that space, I think. And NFTs are one. I don't know if your audience would be aware, but it's non-fungible tokens is what it stands for. And artists actually, people may have seen in the news, like you can create a unique work of digital art that then you can sell to a single buyer. And artists have been doing very well with that. So we've been actually working with some artists to create their own digital art. And I don't think that would have happened if it wasn't for the pandemic.
Oh, yeah. I really hope that we continue to adopt new ways of doing. And I think that it's exciting to see you as somebody who's supporting artists, adapting those ideas into the context of how an artist becomes successful and how they bring their creations into the world. Is there a project that you feel most proud of in how it exemplifies your commitment, your values, or your purpose?
One project I'm working on right now that I'm kind of psyched about is a series of collaborations between artists and scientists of various types. So the one that we're working on right now is a collaboration between a theoretical physicist and a glass blower. The idea for the series is that you get these two very accomplished, smart people who have something in common in terms of the turf that they're working on, but they're just coming at it from these two completely different backgrounds, right? So the theoretical physicist who wants to solve the mysteries of the universe and take us, you know, to the next step beyond quantum theory, and a glass artist who is highly inspired by the sort of scientific properties of the medium that he's working on, but is very much just like an intuitive artistic sort of mind by the same token. Both of these people who I've been working with, beauty is very important to both of them, but they're obviously working with the medium of physical matter in completely different ways. But I'm excited about the project just because I see the excitement in both of them. There's something just very gratifying about bringing people together to create and then watching them do their thing. We're just in the early days. Like they're, you know, the artist is getting his materials and glass together. And then later this summer, they're going to, pandemic permitting, they will actually collaborate to produce a work of art. If it goes well, then we'd like to do some additional collaborations between, you know, different, like take a biologist and a painter, say, and see what new ways of thinking and new types of creativity that come out of what they do.
That sounds like a really fascinating project, and I can't wait to see what the output of that will be, because I have lots of ideas about how really interesting the combination of these two perspectives would be. Thank you so much for sharing your experience with Only Connect and how you have connected yourself with purpose and what that does in your life. It's been a really interesting, wide-ranging conversation, I feel richer for the experience.
Okay, thanks, Michael. So do I. And man, like you put me through my paces.
Thanks for joining me for this episode of Better with Purpose. As with many of my interviews, Nick and I talked about a lot more than made it into the final episode, so I'll share some related ideas on the episode blog at betterwithpurpose.com. I'm so grateful for the feedback I've had from people who've listened to the podcast so far. I've learned so much from everyone I've spoken with. I appreciate suggestions for guests, so if you know anyone who's making purpose a priority in their endeavors, please let me know. You can email me at michael@betterwithpurpose.com. Thanks for listening.